Welcome to Street Knowledge with Chris Graham.
Welcome to the podcast. Chris Graham here. We're going to talk UVA transfer portal basketball and then look at the roster for 2024-2025 with what we can presume is probably the final roster for UVA. Tony Bennett still has one scholarship he can award either to someone who's currently a walk-on. He can, you know, use it for a prep guy, another transfer guy. Hey, who knows? We'll talk about this a little later. Even perhaps a, you know, Reese Beekman or Ryan Dunn who might want to come back after entering the NBA draft, which I don't think is going to happen, but could. So here we are. It was a spring of discontent, right? You're watching this. You're almost certainly a UVA basketball fan, probably a hardcore one. And for weeks, it felt like months, it felt like years, decades, right? That the transfer portal was silent for Virginia. And then in a few days, four transfers from power schools. I'm counting San Diego State as a power school. If you want to argue with me on that, they were in the national championship game 2 years ago, Sweet 16 last year, lost both of those games to UConn, the team that eventually won the national championship. I'll count San Diego State as a power school, at least for now. I don't think that's going too far. Okay, so there's one scholarship spot still remaining. If you had to ask, you know, if I had to put a gun in my head or whatever, bet on this, I would say I think that the roster is pretty well complete for next year. The backcourt's pretty set with Jalen Worley coming in from Florida State. To me, the front court with all those additions that we'll talk about in depth here coming up, feels pretty solid as well. I just don't know where you'd put another guy at this stage. So how do we look? First, the scouting report for the backcourt. This will be a unique year for Virginia the coming year, 2024-2025. Tony Bennett is usually able to hand over his lead point guard job to a guy who got significant minutes in the previous year or years. Think way back. I'll go back. Ty Jerome was playing alongside London Perrantes when Ty was a freshman back in 2016. K.A. Clark played as a freshman alongside Ty Jerome when he was a freshman in 2019. Reese Beekman, then a couple years later, actually got to play with Clark for 3 years. Tony loves to use, when he can and when he has the roster depth to do so, two point guards at the same time. So this will be the first time since Leonard Perrantes was a freshman way back in 2013-2014. So we're talking over a decade that Tony Bennett will come into a year without a point guard sort of groomed to be the guy to take over as the lead guy. And that can be a little scary. I mean, it's been a long time since we've done this here at Virginia. Now, who are the top candidates? Again, I'm assuming that, you know, one, that Reese Beekman isn't coming back. And also that, two, there's not a transfer portal guy coming at this late stage. Because there's a lot of guys already in the program. Starting with Elijah Gertrude, he's the guy that I like to be the guy to take over for next year. He was recruited to be the guy. You know, we saw some of him last year, not a lot. 9.4 minutes a game, 16 games. He was injured, came off the injury. At first was going to redshirt, and then decided after the injury to Dante Harris around Thanksgiving break to give up the red shirt and try to contribute. Didn't get a lot of minutes, consistent minutes, certainly. And what we saw, though, in the limited time that we saw him was off the charts athleticism. He's going to be a guy who's going to be tough to keep out of the paint when he's fully formed, which I hope is coming soon. I think it'll be this year, but and defensively, I think that athleticism will play well, too. He's also a big kid, 6'4". You know, I think you kind of overlook that. Now, the drawback or drawbacks, they're both the perimeter shooting, mid-range shooting. Mid-range shooting may be a little better, but the perimeter shooting, just 1 of 15 from three. I mean, he didn't play a lot. Played a lot at the end of games that were blowouts one way or the other. But something that certainly could be worked on there. The other kid in the mix that we don't know a lot about, but we hear a lot about, Christian Bliss, the 6'4". Now, he was a kid who had an interesting background to get here. He was projected to be a freshman in the coming class of 2024, but had enough credits to graduate, decided to just graduate early, forego his senior year of high school, and redshirt at UVA to get time both in the weight room with Mike Curtis, but also then time with the green team, practicing with the varsity, so to speak. So instead of playing, against high school kids for another year, he worked with the college kids for a year. Saw him walking on crutches towards the end of the year, so I didn't catch the detail of the injury that he suffered, but he certainly got the year in. He got the year of school down and everything else, the traveling and everything else. And he's an unknown quantity, but he's compared as a player to Ty Jerome, a big guard who can see over top of the defense, big point guard who can see over the top of the defense, and is a perimeter shooter as well. The other kid, and please, don't. I joked in my column, don't throw rotten tomatoes at me for saying this. Andrew Rohde. Rohde he's got something in there. I know we haven't seen it yet. He was a 17 point per game scorer in the Summit League. I know that's the Summit League. Most guys who transfer up, the game translates. It just didn't for him last year for whatever reason. We don't know for sure. He only scored four something a game, didn't shoot well. Couldn't even make free throws. I know there were all these issues, and he got plenty of run. Unlike Elijah Gertrude, who got the, what, 9 minutes a game in 16 games. Rohde started 27 games, averaged 25 minutes a game. He got plenty of opportunity to show. But okay, I'm still going to be positive on him. I think there's a reason that he was brought in, and maybe he just put too much pressure on himself, didn't handle that well, but. Whatever the case may be, he's still a guy that's going to be in the mix, and let's root for him to be the guy that we recruited this time last year. If it turns out he is that guy, then Virginia's a lot better team as a result. Then you throw in Jalen Worley, 6'7" kid from Florida State. He's a point guard too. This is four point guard. This is why I'm saying all the talk that you see on the social media still about, hey, we still need a point guard. We have four of them. Worley, 6'7" guy, he can't shoot well from the perimeter, but he only attempted 2 3-point shots. Not a very good jump shooter, but he can get to the rim. He's a big guy, and even though his defensive numbers, individual defensive numbers, weren't very good last year, I think you put him in a system like Tony Bennett's pack line, and I think you'll see a lot out of him. He's a long guy at 6'7", can reliably bring the ball up the floor and create offense for his teammates. And create for himself. So I like Worley. I love everything about bringing him in. I know that again. It's the only thing here is it's untested. We saw a lot of Rohde. Didn't see a lot that we could like. I still am thinking he's going to be good, but he's the only one we've seen a lot of in the Virginia system. Bliss and Gertrude. We either see nothing or very little just because of the lack of playing time for Gertrude. And then Worley's got to come in and adjust his game to the Tony Bennett, system, both offensively and defensively. But what we've seen of him at Florida State, I think, suggests he can do that. So I say all that. That's the one guard spot. And actually, the one and two guard spots, Tony, I know that traditionally basketball lineups are presented as two guards, two forwards, and a center. Tony Bennett plays three guards, two forwards. It's just the way it is. Is especially offensively, his mover blocker offense. You have somebody bring the ball up the floor. He usually plays two point guards. The third guy is a guard. Isaac McNeely will be that guy. I'll talk about Isaac in a second. And then the two forwards setting screens and playing off those screens. I hadn't even talked about McNeely until just a second ago. He's set. He's the one guy who's set in the backcourt. Team second leading scorer, 12.3 points per game last year, 44% shooting from three. Love to see him improve his mid-range game just to make it so that opponents guarding him will have to respect that a little more and maybe not close out as ferociously on the threes, and will make him a better three-point shooter as a result. Also, he's not as good at finishing at the rim as he could be. He could use another step. He had a step up last year. He can use another step up this coming year. The final guy that I've got in the backcourt mix is Tane Murray. He's always the odd man out. He'll be a fourth year next year at UVA. He never does anything wrong, it doesn't seem to me. He shoots well, 45% from three last year. He, plays defense well. He's a big kid at 6'5". Locker room presence. He's a locker room leader. Just can't quite get over the hump, it seems. And when I originally wrote this report, and I can't remember the person who sent me the email saying, you left this kid out. incoming freshman Ishan Sharma, 6'4", three-star player from Canada, we're told is a lights-out three-point shooter. We'll see how that translates and if he gets a chance to to play. I have no insight into this. This is just me speculating, but I'm thinking redshirt year for Sharma is definitely a possibility, if not a likelihood, just given all the other numbers in the backcourt, numbers of guys and numbers of guys coming back, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, so now scouting report for the front court. We talked yesterday about the additions in depth of guys from the transfer portal. Let's start with the guys who are coming back. Blake Buchanan is the lone returning guy who played in the front court in 2023, 2024, coming back. Didn't get a lot of run. He had 18 points and 7 rebounds in his second college game, that win over Florida on November 10th, the Corey game, if you remember that one. It was his only double-digit game of the season. His numbers were, he started a few games. He had a few games where he got limited minutes, single-digit minutes, and kind of back and forth as the season went on. Ended up averaging 3.4 points, 3.1 rebounds per game. He is one of the guys coming back. I say coming, he's the only guy coming back with minutes. Anthony Robinson's coming back. He redshirted as a freshman this year, put on what looked like 100 pounds of muscle. I mean, he's listed at 6'10", 238, but anybody who's seen him up close, I after home games, I sit out on press row and just work on my game columns. I send Scott German down to the media room to monitor the post game press conferences with Tony Bennett. Just not a lot of revealing stuff there. They're pretty media trained not to say anything too important. So I go ahead and get to work. Well, when I sit up there on press row, usually there are a couple of players, especially the redshirts, who come out and they would 15, 20 minutes after the game is over, while the press conferences are going on down below, they come out and work on their game. They come out and practice, have a rebounder with them, and that kind of thing. And boy, Robinson came out for the first time. It was like mid-season, like maybe mid-January, and he came out looking like Superman. I mean, like Dwight Howard from 20 years ago. Just these huge arms, muscles, shoulders, everything else. Obviously took very well to Mike Curtis's weight program. So he's a guy that from a size standpoint, if nothing else, even if all he's able to do as a first year is play, good position defense, rebound, and set screens, he's gonna do that well. I think I like what I just see out of him. And of course, watching him move around the floor when he was doing those sessions. Again, it's just watching a guy shooting and moving around with a rebounder, but got good lateral movement, that kind of thing. So that's the best guy report I can give you. Other guy is that was already in the mix coming in, a 6'9", 225 incoming freshman, Jacob Kofi, 4-star recruit from up in the Pacific Northwest. The scouting reports say good pick and pop shooter out to 17 feet, good size, strong lower body. So he could be a good position defender in the post on the defensive end. And he's got size, 6'9", 225, so he's got some heft to him as well, which should be helpful. So where the front court really became what I haven't done an analysis of this yet. I don't know how I'll analyze it, but in my mind, I'm thinking this front court might be the best front court Tony Bennett's had in his time at Virginia. He's won a national championship. He's won a few ACC championships. I think this is the best front court. Famous last words, right? But I really do. The signature recruit off the portal, top 50, 2023 5-star recruit, TJ Power, a 6'9 stretch four who went to Duke for a year, regretted it, didn't get a lot of playing time there. He loved his game. What we hear, he didn't see a lot of him last year either. But what we hear, even from the Duke people, that the Duke writers who've written about losing him to Virginia, marksman from 3-point range, athletic. Will be a good defender, a good passer, a heady guy. So, and he's 5-star recruit. This is a huge pickup, huge pickup. Can't understate how big of a pickup, or overstate how big of a pickup this was for Virginia. Yeah, understate, right? No, you can't overstate how much Power is going to help this team. The other pickup on Monday was another guy, a 6'8", 240-pound guy, Elijah Saunders, another guy. This is the San Diego State kid, rotation player at San Diego State, a guy who Synergy Sports numbers rates as an excellent defensive defender, held his opponents at 30.3% shooting. And then on the other end of the floor, He's a guy who, for a 6'8", 240 guy, is a 3-point shooter. He hit 32% of his threes last year. I think the ceiling for him is higher there, just suggested because of his 96% average at the three at the free throw line last year. He's it's that's to me, free throw shooting is something that signifies how good your form is. I think he'll improve as a 3-point shooter for Virginia next year. So you got two guys who are big guys, Power at 6'9", Saunders at 6'8", 240. I think those guys end up starting next year for Virginia. I think they maybe push, I mean, they do. They push Buchanan back to first guy off the bench at 6'11", 225, and hopefully Buchanan will get a little stronger, maybe add a few more pounds to his game as well. Anthony Robbins is going to contend in the mix here. And then also the other transfer portal, the other transfer pickup in the front court, guy named Carter Lang, played at Vanderbilt last year, started a few games, kind of like with some of the other guys we've talked about here, didn't get a lot of regular minutes as the season went on at Vanderbilt last year. He's a St. Ann's Belfield grad, so he's from Charlottesville. He's 6'9", 235. Scouting report on him is he's not all that athletic, but he's a heady player, a basketball IQ kind of guy, a good rebounder, a good position defender. Can hit shots out 12 to 15 feet. So I look at him as a guy who will be a back a bench kind of guy. Hey, it's depth. Last year, especially, Virginia did not have depth in the front court. If you got in foul trouble, if the bigs got in foul trouble, it was worry time. This year, I think there's plenty of guys, and not just plenty of guys, but plenty of guys who can play that will make this team a lot better. So how does this all come together? It is May 9th. I'm looking at my computer. It's May 9th. So we're months away from October when practice starts, from November when the season starts. We're what, 5 months from practice, 6 months from the season. But if you had to ask me, I think that, I love Power and Saunders in the front court at the four and five spots to be the starters. And I don't know that it matters who's the center because, as I said earlier, Tony Bennett really goes three guards, two forwards. He expects all of his three guards to be able to initiate the offense, at least bring the ball up the floor, and the other two then running off the screens. And he expects his fours and fives to be able to, to set screens and then work off them, either pick and pop, pick and roll, take a pocket pass, whatever they got, or just set another screen, right? I mean, he expects constant motion out of this continuity flow offense. And so I don't know that four and five matter. It's, you could have four and four, you have five and five, whatever the case. But I think Power and Saunders start. In the backcourt, I mean, there's options. And, if things work out the way that they can and should, I mean, I don't know where you go with, Gertrude, with I think his ceiling is so high. The only question is how can he translate his game to Tony Bennett's system? And I don't think we saw a lot of growth in that respect last year, but we weren't going to see that. He didn't get a lot of minutes. Jalen Worley is a former top 50 recruit himself. He'll be a senior next year, so a veteran guy. He's played in the ACC for 3 years. He's a guy that can really help this team immediately. Andrew Rohde could be a project, but if he plays anything like he did as a freshman at St. Thomas, he's a guy that can be a contributor there. The one set piece again, Isaac McNealy, the scorer, the 3-point shooter, he's still got some work to do to get his game better again in the mid-range, getting to the rim. So this is a big team. It's the smallest guy on the floor at any time is going to be 6'4". That's a difference from recent years. I mean, you go back to the start of the Kea Clark era, 2019, the national championship year. 5'9" guy on the floor for 5 years. Last year, Dante Harris at 5'10", 5'11", whatever charitable number you want to believe for his height. There were times that certainly there was a point guard on the floor who other teams could post up and often did. That would change things around a little bit defensively. But next year's team is going to be long, it's going to be tall, it's going to be long, it's going to be athletic, it's going to be physical. And there are at any one time, you're going to have three guys who I consider to be plus shooters from the perimeter, McNealy in the backcourt, Power and Saunders in the front court. You start those three guys, and then as the game rotates on, you're never going to have, if you manage it right, which Tony Bennett will, you're never going to have less than two of those guys on the floor at the same time. If Andrew Rohde steps up and kind of goes back to where he was as a freshman, becomes that three another 3-point shooting option for Virginia, then there's an additional guy. I don't know if I expect to see either Jalen Worley or Elijah Gertrude necessarily develop themselves into, being voluminous 3-point shooters, voluminous and effective 3-point shooters. But we'll see about Christian Bliss, who we're told has some ability there. If there's and Tane Murray off the bench as well. So there's shooting, there's size, there's guys who can get to the rim, and again, Gertrude, again, Worley, in that respect, guys, the guys who can get into the paint. So I mean, I like a lot about this. And defensively, Saunders is going to be an anchor, power from what we're told. His athleticism should translate to him being a good defender. Worley should be a better defender in the Tony Bennett system, and he's a long guy in the backcourt. There's a lot to like. That's all I'm saying, right? People who are watching this kind of know that I can be brutally honest about things. I was often this past season brutally honest about the Virginia basketball team's limitations. It's again, we're 5 months out from practice starting, 6 months out from the season starting. But I, that being said, I love what I see out of this roster. And the only question then is, how do we develop it? How quickly do we develop it? I think, I mean, this far out from the season, I think the ceiling for this team is really high. I really do. So, positive vibes as far as I'm concerned. So let's see here. What will we talk about next? Next podcast, I'm going to talk a little bit more basketball, and a little bit of NIL. Story I wrote earlier this week about at least some talk around the program about how this transfer portal haul came about, and how it may be related to the signing of a new Virginia State law regarding NIL and the impact there. So. We'll address that. We'll be addressing probably more next week some issues with behind the scenes and money and admissions and kind of putting some things together in terms of more in the football realm, what Virginia can and maybe should be doing to work themselves into being more competitive on the football side of things. So we'll be addressing that probably over the course of a few podcasts, to be honest, and kind of working on drawing off of some of the reporting I've been doing the last couple of weeks, and then we'll be continuing to do on those behind the scenes things coming up. So if you have a question for me, a story idea, something you want me to look into, etc., please feel free to reach out and do so at my email address, which is chris@augustafreepress.com.